Blog Talk Radio.
It's gone.
Man using the magic power of the ancient runic symbols can call forth these powers of darkness. The demons of hell.
Hey, no wonder I didn't use that one. Been rendered sterile by sound waves. Good evening, welcome to Eerie House, oldie timey radio, show number 666. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Not sure what that means. Dave Binkley from Wind is a Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here along with...
The devil didn't make me do it. Blah, blah, it is I, Gar the Ghoul.
No, and it's our salute to things demonic and devilish. We had a hell of a time putting the show together.
A devil of a time.
A devil of a time.
That too.
Papa. Yeah.
Okay.
So back to horror, I think. The devil, the concept of devil and a supreme evil creature, kind of horrific.
Yeah, originally they weren't allowed to even say the devil on radio, believe it or not. And,
yeah, I was surprised old man got away with calling the cat Satan.
Yeah, and so what NBC came up with, that's where they got the term... to the Dickens with you, because they replaced devil with Dickens. And it was NBC that they came up with that little foray away from the devil, even though meaning the devil. So that's why when we get to this program of the Devil's Holiday, surprised the heck out of me until our good buddy Gar got out the spreadsheet and found out that this was from ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Company.
Yeah,
you know, Dave,
the...
that only lasted as long until Charles Dickens heard about it and he sued him.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was dead when he
no
did
more
that,
Dickens
so...
for you.
Yeah.
True.
The Dickens, you say.
Yeah, we got tonight we've got The Witch's Tale, Arch Obler's Plays, and Devil's Holiday.
From Australia, even.
Good day, Mike.
Crazy. Good day, mate. And the weird thing is, I couldn't even tell they were Australian. They sounded like Britoners. Someone from the British Isles more so than that. But no, wait. Australia was a penal colony for the Brits. Is that right? Is that why they speak that way?
Yeah. Yeah, they sent their, their convicts over there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then they made it with the kangaroos
Australia.
And... Then you got
couldn't really escape from Australia because it's a long swim to Hawaii.
And there's sharks or something. I don't know.
Did you know that there's over 140 names for the devil?
I do now. I'll forget
it.
But yeah, thanks for that.
Yep. Yeah, I'm
you
looking
know,
at this.
Not only... Okay, go ahead.
No, I was looking at a page from a site. They break it up into categories. There's some with a biblical source. Nicknames for the devil from other languages or religions. What do they mean by other? I guess they're assuming Christianity would be the I don't know, whatever. Other nicknames for the devil. Badden, bad cat, bad man. Booger man. Booger man, really? Actually, I've heard him expressed as the Booger Man one time and one time only, and it was in a John Wayne movie. What's the one where he's rescuing that young girl?
Isn't that every John Wayne movie?
Is that
every
Jake?
Other John Wayne movie? Yeah.
I think it was Big Jake. No. It was a young kid.
And then every third one, he's rescuing a goat
or a mule. It was Rooster Cogburn.
Or a goat,
Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah,
that's it.
Oh, okay.
And he asked her, "Are you afraid of the booger man?" Because she was supposed to walk home at night or something like that. He found out she had a lot of spunk. Good movie. I thought it was a good movie. One of his better ones.
Yeah.
Pilgrim.
Isn't that one where she tried to hit him and she missed and she spun around and fell in the mud?
That would have been...
That was... That's
probably
always
something with Maureen O'Hara. That could have been a Maureen O'Hara movie with him.
Yeah,
anywho,
could have been.
Anywho, a lot of radio tonight, and all devilish. Yeah, over 140 different names. I'll read some as we go by tonight.
Yeah, if you'll pardon the expression, there's a radio play, one of the Canadian ones. I'm thinking it might be Nightfall. And one of the stories is the 2,000 names of God. So even God still got the devil beat.
Let's hope.
That is one hilarious story. I can't remember if that's Ray Bradbury or what, but it's great.
I thought it was pretty cool, yeah. It's more of a straight science fiction thing almost, yeah.
I thought I had flipped that to you guys as like a very short audiobook or something years ago.
I have heard it from that radio from the I think it's Nightfall.
Oh, okay.
That I've heard it from. So yeah.
Yeah. So funny.
Yeah.
It's like, oh boy. Crazy.
Yep. Here's a list of the names for the devil. There's a bunch of them here just from their biblical references. Satan, the devil. Lucifer, the evil one. Beast, Antichrist. Mammon, Wicked One, Beelzebub, Belial, B-E-L-I-A-L, Deceiver, Demon or Demon Ruler, Accuser, Adversary, Angel, King of the Bottomless Pit, Dragon, Enemy, Fallen Angel, Fallen Star, Father of Lies, Lawless One, Murderer, Prince of the Power of the Air, Prince Satan, Roaring Lion, Ruler of Darkness, also King of Darkness, Ruler of this world. Ooh, that's creepy. Serpent or serpent of old. Son of perdition. Son of the dawn. Son of the morning. Son of wickedness. Tempter. The anointed cherub. Ew. The fallen light bearer and the thief.
There's only one
question
I have about that. How did they know my ex?
They knew. They knew. And you out there will have to guess which name she used in this world. Josie Wales.
There you go. You know, the funny thing about the whole Satan character is it's just the guy had a job. Nobody else wanted the job. He took it. And look at the falling out that came from that, you know.
I know. It's like death. You know, death didn't want that job, but nobody else would take it. You know, and people have to die.
You know?
It's too much of a strain on Social Security.
Right. And if you look at the guy, I mean – it looks like he was clearly born for that job, the whole skull face and the robe and the sickle, scythe. Now maybe they give you the robe and the scythe when you sign up. I don't know, but
I thought that was just death, though.
That's death. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the one that brought that up.
The devil.
It was another job. That was another job that nobody wanted, Dale.
This was really weird, and I found it peculiar. Years ago in art history in college, we were studying all kinds of sculpture and stuff, and one of them was a sculpt. It was out of Germany or somewhere, very old, and it was supposed to be of Moses. But the dude had two horns on his head. And I'm like,
whoa.
What the heck is that about? Yeah.
That can't be.
Yeah.
Any world's fun.
No, that's... Time for another splash of Old Spice, everyone.
Yes.
I guess. Yeah, put it right on your horns.
Our parrot does that once in a while. She does the Old Spice thing. She picks it up from commercials.
Yep.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I need to stay away from birds because I start doing that too. It's like, it's
They're the devil spawn. Let's get started, shall we? Where shall we begin?
Right.
Shall.
we could get devil's holiday behind us.
Why not?
Yeah,
let's
go
down under the equator.
Yes. So
the devil's holiday.
This comes...
a story called Lucifer Meets a Client. I knew he was an attorney.
Yes. And this comes to us from Australia, apparently from the ABC networks down there. They had a station call number of 2UW, and this thing ran for 52 episodes in 1953. This particular episode has an air date of Tuesday, November 17th, 1953.
Ooh.
Sure, why not?
There you
go.
I knew we'd get the goat.
Devil's Holiday. Lucifer takes a vacation on Earth and meets a client. Lucifer is the name. Don't jump like that, dear lady. I haven't come for you yet. Oh, no. A lot of sulfuric acid has to flow under the bridge before I'm ready for you. But when I am, I can promise you a real bubble bath. Soap, but no hope. I do trust you don't object to mixed bathing because you probably have a companion. Oh, quite a gentleman, really. Gervaise Axman. Last of one of England's most ancient families. Hopelessly inbred, you know. It wasn't a case of the family needing new blood. What they needed was blood of any kind. Still, there was no excuse for Gervaise to seek his share by brutally murdering his neighbor's wife. Why wouldn't his own wife have done? What's a wife for? But then, Felda, of course, didn't appeal to him. He had to go gallivanting among the peasants like a 16th century squire with 20th century results. You know, I was done out of Gervaise. They changed the charge to manslaughter, and he got 10 years. Yes. Yeah, but there's hope, because today he was released. The moment I heard the news, I came hot-footing up here to... to what? To have someone pay the devil his due. And as far as I'm concerned, Gervaise is not only due, but overdue. On the small, neat Buckinghamshire farm which Felder has carried on, alone and unassisted for 8 years, all is calm, all is still. Ah, me, a peaceful, bucolic scene. It seems a pity to disturb it. But what has to be, has to be. So...
Go in, you stubborn... Gotcha.
And very neatly done, if I may say so.
Charles! I didn't know you were there.
No, you were making such an infernal row, hitching that fly to your tractor, you couldn't hear my car.
Nice to see you anyway. Come and have tea. It's almost time.
Oh, but aren't you going to work? I don't want to interrupt you, my dear. I know how busy...
Work? Oh, you mean the plow. No, that's ready for tomorrow.
Caro started today. I just drove past and saw him ploughing his long field by the road.
Caro works with a calendar. I work with the soil.
Still, ploughing up day is ploughing up day hereabouts.
There's a time for everything, and I plough tomorrow. Now come and have that tea.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Felder. Looking out from this window, the farm looks a picture.
Yes, I think so, too. It's been hard, but it's been worth it. Here's your tea.
I wonder what Jervis will think of it.
He'll never see it. He's done with it. He told me to sell it when he... I sold it to myself. The money's in his bank in London. He knows it. So there's nothing to bring him back, is there?
There's you.
I was the first thing he threw away. Now the farm isn't here for him. Neither am I.
And what if he doesn't quite see it that way?
I won't have him here. This is my world. The world I made for myself when he smashed my other. He robbed me of everything, of himself, of his children, of my respect.
Never your respect, Felder. You've kept it and nourished it. You're highly respected and you know it.
I'll never forgive him for what he did. Never.
My dear, Rita Caro has been dead a long time and Jervis has paid.
Rita Caro? Do you think it's for her that I'm so bitter? I'm the one he killed. And Jervis hasn't paid. He hasn't begun to pay.
Felder, I have something to tell you. He was released today.
Released? How do you know? He still has 2 years.
Good conduct. London rang me. They thought he'd make for home.
What home?
And as chief constable, they thought I should know. Left it to my discretion to warn Caro.
Warn him?
Your husband has threatened to harm him. He claims it was Caro killed Rita when he found out about her and Jervis.
He always has. Right from the day he was arrested.
There's a train gets in from London at 4. That's why I drove over.
In case he comes here.
I know he'll come here.
There's a train back to London at 7.
What if he refuses to go?
Caro has remarried. Let him go there.
Oh, my dear.
Well, we shall soon know. If he were on the 4 o'clock, he'd just be getting here.
Well, surely it takes more than 20 minutes to walk from the station.
An hour by the main road. 20 minutes if one uses the lane and cuts across my hollow field. Gervais always comes that way. Used to come, I mean. Remember?
Lucky for William Caro. If Gervais came the long way, he'd see Caro ploughing. And, anything might happen.
You warned him.
Yes, as I drove by. He's ready.
And I'm waiting.
Yes, we're both waiting.
It's quite a reception committee for dear Gervais. Oh, what a welcome home. Oh, well, I shall make up for it when it comes to me for the long weekend. I think that should be the lost weekend. Now let's turn the clock back a few minutes, say half an hour, and see what's happening at the equally ancient farm of William Caro, whose first wife was enamored of Gervais Axeman and died for it, and whose second wife is equally flighty. Descriptive word, eh? Wouldn't it be strange if lightning struck twice, eh?
William! Why, what are you doing back at the house this early?
Kerosene. Did I hear a car as I drove tractor up to barn?
Got good ears, William.
Good eyes, too. Hear that, lass? Good eyes.
I don't know what you mean.
You didn't say you were going to village.
I'm not.
You've been?
I haven't been out of the house all day.
Kind of prettied up, then. Aren't you, lass?
What's the good of having pretty clothes if I never wear them?
All right behind bar of fox and grapes and things, Martha. But they don't go well on farm. Get them off. They make me sick.
Oh, do they? Well, let me tell you, they don't make everyone sick.
Who's been here with you? Well?
No one's been here with me, as you put it. It was Chief Constable, if you must know.
Chief Blowhard, you mean? What did he want?
To tell you a friend of yours might be calling on you. Gervais Axeman.
He's out? They've let him out?
Today. What's the matter, William? You've gone white.
Killed her, he did. Took her from me and then killed her. Let him come. I'll be ready and it'll be my turn this time.
You know, I never did believe Gervais Axeman killed her.
Didn't I catch him there in wood standing over her like the murdering dog he is?
Well, when I was at the Fox and Grapes, some people thought as it was someone else killed her. And he only found her, like he said. Some people said you put the blame on him. Only said you'd warned him away from her. So you could get your hands on the farm like you've always wanted.
He killed her, I tell you. And you'd better not go saying any contrary, or I'll...
Lay a finger on me, William Carrow, and there'll be another death in your family. I mean it.
You've been a back-chatting faggot ever since I wed you. Be careful you don't try me too far. I got ploughing to do. See my supper's ready when I come in. And like I tell you, take off them silks. You're not behind bar now.
No. Not now. Not yet.
You note the general air of happy gaiety which pervades this district. These characters had better watch out, or some impecunious author will put them in a play. Well, there you are. That's what happened 30 minutes before Sir Charles Barton, chief constable of the county, sat in the low-beamed living room of Felder Axman's farmhouse, awaiting the prophesied arrival of Gervaise.
5 o'clock. He can't be coming. Not today, anyway.
What made you so certain he was, Charles?
Oh, I wasn't certain. I only thought, well, where else would he come?
Where else indeed, Charles?
Gervaise!
You're looking well, Felder. Hard work suits you. Those overalls, too. Quite the land girl, aren't you? Oh, excuse me, am I interrupting anything private?
Gervaise!
Well, how are you, old man? I came to extend the welcoming hand. We thought you'd turn up. But where have you been? Your train got in at 4, didn't it?
I came the long way round by the main road. It takes a full hour, you know. Am I too late for tea?
Felder?
I'll make fresh.
No, don't bother. I'll have a whiskey instead. I trust you've been looking after my wife, Charles, as a good friend should.
Charles has been a wonderful friend to me.
Good. And have you also been a wonderful friend to me too, Charles?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Queer, but I don't know.
Then kindly don't make insinuations.
Charles!
Look here, Felder. Gervais and I have to have a talk. You run away for a few minutes while
No.
But he's got to be told.
Told?
Told that you're no longer welcome in this house. That Felder regards you with contempt and loathing.
Well, suppose Felder herself tells me this. Felder?
Gervais, I thought... Oh, I don't know what I thought.
You've got a cool nerve, I must say, Axman, expecting to walk into your wife's arms after serving 8 years for murder. You can see how she feels about you. You caused her enough trouble and unhappiness. Why don't you go?
I'll go when she tells me.
What have you come back for? You sold the farm. You've lost your wife.
And yet they're both still here.
Are they? You'll soon discover there's nothing here for you. Nothing.
Well, if there's nothing, then there's nothing. By the same token, there's nothing here for you either. Is there, Felder?
Welcome home, Gervaise.
Felder, you can't. You can't do this. No.
Hello? Yes, speaking. Yes, he's here. One moment. It's for you, Charles.
Thank you. Hello. Yes, Sergeant. Well? Why? He's been what? Yes, I'll come at once, right away. You can't do it, Felder. And I'll tell you why you can't. They've just found William Carrow beside his tractor. He's been murdered.
Well, I'm sorry we had to lose old Carrow. He was such a happy soul. Oh, but your loss is my gain. Just wait over there, please, Mr. Carrow. Yes, by the elevator. Well, what's Felder going to do now? Peacon situation, don't you think? Fancy her changing the way she did. But then, that's women, Boyle. For you, my friends, not for me. Well, with two murders on his hands, I think Gervaise needs a rest, don't you? In fact, I think we all need one. So, relax.
With the falling of the curtain on Act One of Devil's Holiday, we pause for a brief announcement.
The devil's kind of cheeky, isn't he?
is. And he hasn't actually had a personification in this story. Mostly it's about a guy went to jail and got out. So far.
True.
But quite a heady drama for a half hour little show.
Yes. They jumped right in. I mean,
they did, yeah. And when I first listened to this, I had problems following the characters. I had to write down, okay, character number one, character two, okay, try to remember who everybody was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, who's who. But, yeah. And this aired once a week on Australia's ABC network there. So I don't know if they had a continuation with these characters or each one was separate.
Perhaps the devil was the host, because he seems to be.
Yes, the devil is the host, and he frames the story a little bit. But I don't know that the devil takes a hand in it yet. We'll find out. Yeah.
We will find out what the devil he's up to.
Dave, do you have more of these? This is the only one I saw. Is Dave still with us?
Dave?
Dave left.
Dave?
I'm here.
Dave.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hey, very
wait,
good,
wait.
Blah, blah. Happy 666 on the 18th. As we know, 6 times 3 is 18. So I thought I should call and say happy 666.
They didn't say there would be math.
There will be a test afterwards. Right. There will be a test.
I was afraid of that.
Doesn't the devil have some type of implication on math? Didn't he come up with it? I don't know.
I know. Darned if I know, but I do know the devil went down to Georgia. And,
well, it had to do with that. It had to do with that. It's called taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So the IRS and the devil, one and the same. Yeah, we get it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Most definitely.
Oh, CW. I was looking for property up north because I'm trying to find a home, and I ran across a house, and the address was 666, and I was like, that would be fitting. It didn't work out, but
oh wow.
666. I don't remember the rest of it.
Yeah, but
that
was time financing on that though.
Ooh,
we're
yeah.
Definitely time financing that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
was
yeah.
It on Lucifer Lane?
Yeah, it would have been hilarious, you know. I would have gotten rid of my UPS box if I would have gotten it, because, you know, who's going to mess with the mail there, you know?
Can't get a better address than that one.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
For the win.
Lord Garth Edius Gardenstein at 666, you know, Satan Place. Yeah, it's going to be great.
One thing I think about when I think about Satan Place, I think of that Get Smart episode where they were going to Satan Place, yeah.
yeah. I have seen so many funny addresses where the street name is enticing or the street name is off-putting, you know. But I don't want to go live on Cat Gut Drive. I don't want to.
Yeah,
no.
Ew. Well, you're not a musician, that's why.
No, I guess, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ooh, I would love to. It would be great to live on, let's see, Boris Boulevard or Lugosi Lane. Ooh.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
That's
Edgar Allan Poe Avenue, you know, that would be.
Yeah.
I've been looking all over. I'm still looking. And
1313 Mockingbird Lane would be all right.
Oh, yeah.
That would be. I think it's taken.
Yeah, I think it's taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Morning Glory Circle. No, that's
mm-hmm.
taken too.
Yeah.
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 Morning Glory
that's
Circle? I missed that.
Oh, that's where Samantha and Darren Stevens live.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And that wasn't even a circle. It was a street.
Yeah, I know. Well, the funny thing
like
is...
It was a cul-de-sac. It wasn't a cul-de-sac, no.
I Dream of Jeannie house, my three sons, Bewitched, and the Parkers, all these, they're just right next to each other. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hazel House was in, all that.
Yeah. Well, you missed out on buying the Brady Bunch house. That was sold.
Yeah.
That had been for sale, yeah.
Well, that had two different things going on. It had a physical house, and it had the soundstage. And the funny thing about that was there are no bathrooms in the Brady house.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. I guess they went out the window, I guess.
It was the girls' room, and they each had a door that direction, but nobody ever used it for that. No. They didn't take showers, and
they
take a bath, and they... Yeah.
Yeah, they showed the sinks. They showed the basins, the lavatories, but never a bathtub and never a toilet. Nope.
Yeah.
They were the cleanest people in the world because they never did that. I guess
you would think they'd be the most uptight.
Yeah. Well, I
was. Anxious, you know.
One would think.
Yeah. Be all anxious and stuff.
You can only hold it just so long, man.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm sure they went to the neighbors.
Running down to the gas station, yeah, something, man.
Dog's Mane piped in with Devil's Gulch and Devil's Tower as two other possible locales that might be fun.
Ooh, Devil's Tower. Encounters of the Third
Encounters.
Time.
Yeah, watch for musical aircraft.
Oh, yeah. Roswell. You could move to Roswell, New Mexico. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not that excited about Roswell. There's some that are. Yeah, it doesn't do a thing for me. I'm shooting to move north.
North?
Closer to Dale and Dave.
Cool.
But not that close.
Ooh.
Hey, I don't want my taxes going up.
Why would your taxes go up?
Because of you.
Because of me?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've never moved taxes up or down.
Perhaps you haven't heard of the new real estate firm of Moose and Elk. If it's dirt, we'll sell it.
There you go.
Frostbite Falls, maybe?
That would be cool.
Maybe.
Frostbite Falls, yeah. That's a good place.
There it is. There's that.
If you like frostbite.
Not too far away from... What's the matter, you?
What's the matter, you? Oh, gosh.
There you go.
Greatest university ever.
Yeah.
Moose and Squirrel.
Well, depending upon how far north you want to move up, you can move up there with Dudley Do-Right and his horse.
It is I, Dudley Do-Right, and my horse.
His horse named Horse, yes.
And it was weird because the horse got affections from a female that Dudley was kind of had eyes on. That was kind of odd, but yeah. Okay.
Oh, yes. No.
Yeah. But she was a kid, so it was all okay. Yeah.
I don't save you, sweet. No. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's see. You can see. Hello to everybody in the chat room. Who's ever there? And you can move to where? How about Seattle? Carl Kolchak found the Night Strangler.
Where did he find the vampire?
That was in Las Vegas.
Vegas.
That was in Las Vegas.
The Vampire of Vegas. The Vegas Vampire.
Vegas.
Yeah.
And
there's
Illinois, where the INS news offices are located.
Oh, yeah.
I've got the perfect place for you.
And okay. Now, friendly yeah. spirits, it's Ghoul View time. Brought to you by Ghoul View, the modern cemetery for the modern spirit. The only cemetery that dares to say, relocate. If you're cramped in your crypt, come to Ghoul View. Need more room in your tomb, come to us.
Sir.
If you hardly can stir in your old sepulchre, make our new catacomb your modern dream home. And if open, your coffin is stuffy, and the crowds in their shrouds get you down. Well, and why hesitate? It's time to relocate, and Ghoul View is the place for you. Yes, at Ghoul View, you enjoy the new concept in internment. Choose from spacious ranch-type tombs or split-level plans, all with room to expand in case your needs change.
See?
And you'll love all the Ghoul View extras. Our all-star entertainment policy puts laughter in the hereafter. And our guests enjoy dependable switchboard service. If a medium calls, you'll never miss a message. And of course, you have flexibility. If you're away on an extended hot, you can even sublet. Isn't that exciting? So ask yourself, do you keep finding faults with your vault? And you're really not hot on your plot. And if each way you turn, there's somebody's urn where your troubles are through when you come to Ghoul View. Is there moss on your old mausoleum? Have you outgrown your granite headstone? Well, it's time for a change. Pack up the old remains, and Ghoul View is the place for you. You really dig it. Ghoul View is the place for you.
Pack your bags, Gar. I think you're sold.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was Zachary, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Love that. I've enjoyed everything I found of Zachary. Just absolutely entertaining.
And he's the grandfather. Vampira is the grandmother, and really the earliest right. documented horror host. And shortly thereafter came Zachary.
Yeah.
And some others in the early days.
I feel depraved. I mean deprived. I just lived in a horror host desert. Didn't have anybody.
Really? Wow. No one. Ever.
No one. Nothing.
Where? Ever. Alaska?
Probably. Might as well have been.
Can you toss out a state name? Because there's an index that has state names, and it will you can equate a host. And because I went checking this thing out, and I was like, I couldn't believe how many horror hosts there were. You know, but I mean, it started in the 50s.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But at least I have the internet.
I think it's Igor's something list of horror hosts.
Oh yeah.
Well,
and it's still out there. You can check it out, CW. On your own. Yeah, Igor's something horror host.
It's quite possible I did grow up with horror hosts. It's just that my parents probably blocked it. You know, they got in front of the monitor. But no.
Oh gosh.
No. No.
You know what?
Do something
useful.
Like, get educated.
That's what it is. Time to get new parents.
Wow. That's harsh, dude.
That is harsh, yeah.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
What? Get new parents?
I don't know. We better wrap up our radio program here. We had a little...
Yeah, might as well.
A lot of chit-chat. Let's get on with part two of Devil's Holiday. Lucifer meets a client.
Uh-huh.
we resume our story with the second act of Devil's Holiday.
Home in. Oh, my. A pleasant rest from this exhausting business of catching you mortals with your... to continue. Scarcely had Felda Axman suddenly made a complete about-face and welcomed her newly released from prison husband Gervaise, then came the horrifying news that William Carrow had been done to death. William Carrow, husband of the woman for whose manslaughter Gervaise spent 8 years in prison.
William Carrow, husband of the woman you made love to and murdered. The man you swore to do to death as you did his wife.
I can't stand it. I can't. It's horrible. Horrible.
Felda, come back.
Why? So that I can be next? For a wild moment before that phone rang, I thought I'd been wrong. That everyone had been wrong. But what did you do less than an hour after you got off the train? Killed again, went straight for William Carrow and blotted out his life just as you did.
Lay a finger on her again.
Shut up, both of you. You particularly, Barton. Felda, you're hysterical, but I thank God for it. I know what it means, what you feel and why. It isn't horror at what you think I've done. It's resentment that I may have done something to snatch away the happiness you were just reaching out for. Isn't that it?
I hope they hang you this time.
And they will. Axman, you're under arrest. I have to go. But I'll send a man back, and if you're not still here, or if you've harmed Felda in any way...
Which do you hope I'll do?
Don't try anything. Felda, I must go. I hate leaving you like this, but after all, I am Chief Constable, and... Well...
I'll be all right. I'm not afraid. Not anymore.
Good. I'll hurry back as quickly as I can. Remember what I said, Axman?
I'll try to, but at the moment I'm remembering what someone else said.
What do you mean?
Go and find out who killed Carrow, then come back. I'd like to hear your theory.
You'll hear more than that. You'll hear a death sentence.
Felda, listen to me. You must believe me. I didn't do this. I didn't kill Rita either. And perhaps Carrow's death will help me prove it.
How?
I don't know when he was killed, but I saw his tractor standing in his long field as I came by. He was underneath it, fixing something. At least I suppose that's what he was doing, but... Felda, he must have been dead then.
Gervaise, how did you get here from the station?
The long way, the main road. How else could I have seen Carrow's tractor?
The long way? Why?
I had to think. After all, I'd not seen you for 8 years.
You came that way because you knew you'd meet Carrow ploughing.
Darling, I didn't know that. How could I?
It's ploughing up day, remember? Carrow always ploughs on this date, and forget the darling.
Look, it takes an hour of solid walking to get here from the station. What do you think I did? Saw Carrow on his tractor, climbed the fence, biffed him, and walked on? Oh, have some sense.
You could have done that and then doubled back to the lane and come in the short way across Hollow Field. Is that what you did, Gervaise?
Yes, I could have done that, couldn't I? But why should I? Why should I kill Carrow?
Hasn't that been your dominating thought ever since? The other one? To get even? Didn't you shout it in court? Haven't you said it ever since?
Yes, I said it, and until a couple of minutes ago I meant it.
There!
But would I be fool enough to kill him the moment I'm in the district? When everyone's expecting me to attack him?
Perhaps you've become clever. Cleverer than you were.
Yes. Yes, perhaps I have. And not before it's time. I'd like to know something.
What?
8 years ago, who was it brought me the message that Rita Carrow wanted me to meet her in Folly Woods?
Why, Charles, of course. Charles! You're not suggesting...
That was reluctantly dragged out of him at the trial. When I got there, she was dead. A minute later, Carrow turned up. Who told him where his wife was?
Charles? But Carrow asked him...
What if Rita was already dead when Charles gave me the message? And Charles knew it.
You're mad. To accuse Charles of... Why? Why would he do it?
Felda, think back. When did he first ask you to marry him? And how often since? Dear, dear, dear. All this raking over the old murder. Why, there's a lovely, fresh one to be discussed. It's so much time-wasting. Why can't the man admit the deed and be hanged to him? Let's get on. That's what I say. Yes. Let's visit the spot marked X. Lovely day for a murder, don't you think? But then, so were the other 364. While in leap years...
There he is. Just like I found him. Except for the bit of canvas.
The body hasn't been touched, sir. Not since I've been here.
Good. We'll need more men on this job, Sergeant. And some plain clothes chaps as well. You cut off back to the house and ring through. There's a good chap.
Right you are, sir.
And tell me, Mrs. Carroll, did you actually see this fellow Axeman attack your husband?
I didn't see a thing, sir. Except what's here. I heard the tractor stop and stay stopped. So I came out and down the fields. Saw him lying there, under the tractor, dead. That's when I went and rang the police. Who did it, sir? Was it Mr. Axeman, do you think?
Seems a strange coincidence if he didn't. This happening so soon after I warned him. I stopped as I drove past, you know, after I'd left your house, and repeated the warning I'd given you. See? There are my footprints leading up to the tractor across his ploughland.
Yes, I see them. But where are Mr. Axman's footprints?
Here, I say, I don't like this. This is not turning out the way I... What's that, Lily? What? Yes, that's right. And excuse me, friends. That was my secretary pointing out that... Well, never mind. From now on, I'm only an interested onlooker. A very interested. I was still interested early next morning when an arrest was imminent.
Oh, yes. I'll admit it's only circumstantial evidence, but it is evidence. Here's what you did, Axeman. You left the train and, taking the main road, went straight to Carrow's farm, to where his long field borders the road. You waited in the hedge until he'd finished a furrow towards you and had turned his tractor and had his back to you. And then you struck him down.
Go on.
Then you nipped back down the main road, used the lane, cut across your wife's hollow field, and got here to the house. It takes just 1 hour to do that.
We've just timed it. Supporting evidence? What about footprints? Were mine found on Carrow's ploughland?
You walked on the hard, unploughed land. It's quite simple to prove.
All cut and dried, isn't it? Just like the other. Tell me, Charles, if you wanted to get rid of me, why didn't you just kill me instead of killing two others?
That's not very funny.
May I ask a question?
Felder, this must be an awful ordeal for you. Won't you leave the sergeant and me to settle this and get it over?
Somehow, Charles, I don't think it is over. Mrs. Carroll, what time did Sir Charles leave your house yesterday afternoon? 3:45 it was. William drove up less than a minute later, filled up with kerosene and went back and started ploughing again. I could hear him.
That would be when I stopped him.
Time?
Let's say 3:55. I was here by 4, wasn't I?
The train got in at 4. It would have taken Gervais 1/4 hour to reach Carrow's farm. That makes 20 minutes he had.
Who had 20 minutes?
Carrow, to get on with his ploughing. Only he didn't get on. He didn't plough another inch after Charles spoke to him.
How do you mean?
You admit, so does the sergeant and Mrs. Carrow, that your footprints go right up to the tractor. If William Carrow had restarted ploughing after you left, Charles, there'd have been time for a band of untrod ploughing 6 feet wide between your footprints and where the tractor was stopped.
That's right.
So why didn't he restart ploughing after you left him, Charles?
Oh, how do I know?
Apart from Gervais, you were the last person to see him alive.
That's possibly so.
It is on circumstantial evidence.
So if you can't prove that Gervais used the shortcut through Hollow Field, the case against him falls down. Because unless he used the shortcut, he wouldn't have had time to kill Carrow and be here by 5.
Not quite. For the case against him to fall down, he'll have to prove he didn't take the shortcut through Hollow Field.
And if he can.
But I can't, Felder. How can I?
Come over to the window. All of you. Now look out. Over there is Hollow Field. The field through which Gervais is supposed to have taken a shortcut yesterday. As you will see, it's fresh ploughed.
But Felder,
if he crossed that field, his footprints will show in the ploughing.
I can assure you there are none.
Well, Sir Charles, looks like this clears him, don't it? Shut up!
Felda, when was that field ploughed?
Why, yesterday morning, of course. It was ploughing up day.
But yesterday at 4, you told me you wouldn't be starting to plough before today.
You must be mistaken, Charles. There's a time for everything, and ploughing up day is ploughing up day hereabouts.
Why, this makes Sir Charles the last person to have seen William alive, doesn't it?
On circumstantial evidence, yes. But I'd hardly think it's strong enough to blow out my brains if I were you, Charles. They could never prove a thing, and neither can you. Oh, what a clever boy that Gervase Axeman is. Yes, what a recruit he'd make. It's a pity to lose him. But I got William Carrow, and that night I got the Chief Constable, Sir Charles Barton. He left a confession to the murder of Rita Carrow, but strangely denied killing William. How did the miracle take place? All the previous night, while her husband slept peacefully in his bed, Felda Axeman drove her tractor and plow up and down Hollow Field, putting a swathe of safety around her husband. Women are funny, you know. While Felda travelled up and down that field, she was crying silently, because each time she came to the middle, the light of her tractor lamp lit the deep, fresh impressions of a man's shoes on the dew-damp ground. Ready, gentlemen? Going down...
Devil's Holiday is a Donovan Joyce production.
Welcome back to Satan Place. It's a soap opera with burning anticipation.
Patient, go have a cup of that boiling devil hot coffee. And
Pickle's going wild.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it's a double pickle.
That off, not only does it repel Martians, but that's good for an exorcism as well.
Yes. Pretty much gets rid of anything. Probably our audience. No, that was a great story. No, that was a great story from Down Under. We got a couple more.
We do.
Would we like Arch Obler? Or shall we? Yeah, let's save old Nan for last.
How about the moral? Hello.
How about a moral? That moral thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know I have none.
I got a few.
All right, well, in that case, sure. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Scar's Moral of the Story.
Concerning a prison term, good behavior after the fact should have no impact. The conviction was all about bad behavior.
Thank you, Judge Gar.
Yeah, I never did understand that. It's like, you were misbehaving, that's why you got in trouble.
Yep.
And they're like, no, we'll just let it go. It's like, what? Let it go.
Yeah, just let it go. Let it go.
Whisper words of wisdom.
Especially for like murder. For like murder, like, no, you got to stay. I'm sorry. You know.
But he was sorry.
He was sorry.
Yeah, he was sorry. He was sorry when he committed the murder.
If I'm understanding it correctly, the woman on the plow was shedding a few little tears as she was plowing her spouse.
No. She was plowing the footprints of the guy, so she was basically getting rid of evidence.
Yeah, she was covering evidence. That's,
oh.
Yeah, so she wasn't plowing somebody up or down. She was actually trying to get her. And I didn't understand that. She was kind of freaking out about, well, I rubbed this guy off. He's done. It's out of here. Rubbed him. He's not part of my life. Shampooed that guy right out of her hair. And then he comes back. And it's like, what?
Yep.
And what?
Come to Cleveland. We have more horror hosts. Or Ghoulview. One of the two.
There you go.
Yep. A lot of radio.
Go to, move to Toledo, Ohio, Gar. It's supposed to be really calm and fun of Toledo.
No, they got crime, too.
Toledo!
Lots of it. We've got, we might as well go to Arch Obler's Plays. Yeah, Arch Obler, you know, the lights out guy with a story called The Visitor from Hades.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
With an air date.
Of?
October 10, 1964.
Ooh. And now, lights out. Arch Obler's Plays. Stories of the unusual. Hello, this is Arch Obler. Now, why does a playwright write a play? Well, take this one you're going to hear. Was it because I heard the neighbors in a knockdown, drag-out fight, or was it because I had a few words with my own little helpmate? Well, you'll never know except to listen and guess. And now, Arch Obler's strange play, The Visitor from Hades.
So, all right, shut the window. A little quiet we'll have.
Want me to suffocate?
Suffocate. 42 years now I've lived in the Bronx. Do I look like I suffocate? Oh, come on, Dora. Be nice. We'll have quiet and we'll talk.
All right.
Yeah, better. So come, sit down, Dora. Come on, sit and we'll talk.
I don't know if I want to talk about it anymore.
Now, don't talk like something without a head. Why shouldn't you talk?
A good reason. I'm sick of it.
So if you're sick inside, God forbid you see a doctor. If you're sick in the head, you talk to me. Who's better you should talk to than your own mother, even if only by marriage?
He makes me sick.
News, you're telling me he makes you sick? Listen, darling. For 30 years, Sam's papa made me so sick even to look at him, I used to close my eyes like you close from a piece of dirt flies in your eyes.
He's good looking enough.
Washington. And not even Washington by the president. Washington he has to run away to. A traveler in the family.
Not with me, he won't.
Not with himself either. Now, believe me, it's up to you, Dora.
Fighting all the time. If you knew how sick I was of it.
So bad at fighting and getting what you want, believe me. The door.
Yes, I heard.
Now, if it's Sam.
Sam, at 4:10? Yeah, him and a bank president.
Mister in a hurry, whoever it is.
Just the superintendent. And he fixed the light in the bathroom. All right.
Sam? Dora? Is it Sam?
Yes, Ma, it's Sam.
Now, Sam, don't start anything.
Well, what should he start? With his own mama he should start.
Ma, I thought I asked you to stay away from Dora when I'm not here.
Sam, I tell you, don't start that again.
Mama, answer me. Didn't I ask you to stay away?
Mamas who aren't welcome by their daughters in marriage I've heard of. But an own son
now,
wouldn't...
Now, don't get melodramatic, Ma. All I'm asking is that you don't see Dora when I'm not around. We had that understanding.
Sam,
we...
you stop.
Why should I stop?
All right, all right. So both stop. I got a home. I'll go.
Oh, Ma, for Pete's sake, why can't you talk real?
No, I don't want to talk. I don't want to stay.
Oh, goodbye. I'll talk to you tomorrow, darling.
All right.
And don't forget what I told you. New York is good enough.
Of course, Mother. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
New York's good enough for what?
For you.
So she has been at it again. Dora, why won't you listen to me? She isn't right for you, my Ma.
Maybe I haven't heard that one.
Then hear it again because it's true. All her life, everything she's done's been wrong. My Pa, he was a swell guy, but she ruined him and his business. The way she's trying to ruin you and me.
Little boy's getting excited.
Listen, she ran him and his life. What he should do, not do, she breathed for him, and pretty soon he was glad to die. Believe me, glad to die.
Stop yelling at me. The neighbors hear you all right half as loud.
The devil with the neighbors. They don't have to stand 10 hours a day in that sweatshop. I do.
If you had what it takes, you wouldn't have to work for other people. You'd have a place for yourself.
I'd have a place for myself if you'd stop spending every nickel a week before I make it.
I got a right to live, have fun, ain't I? Can I help it? I'm married. A dumb jerk can't make a decent living.
Don't say those things. I warned you.
I said them yesterday. I'll say them now. I'll say them again. You're a jerk.
Dora, stop
it. A big, empty-headed jerk.
Stop it, I tell you.
Your mom's right. She's always right. The only way to treat a jerk like you is to spend every cent you make just as fast as you make it.
Dora, I'm telling you.
So you can keep on.
I'm telling you, Dora.
You're a jerk. A jerk. A jerk.
Stop it.
A jerk like your pa was.
Don't say that, my pa.
A jerk. You're mocked.
Dora, stop it.
A fat-headed jerk who never reminds
me. All right, I'll stop you.
A jerk. Say it, him. Don't.
Oh, Dora.
Dora. I didn't mean to. Stop looking at me like that. I didn't know what I was. But my hands. Don't blame me. Blame yourself. My pa. The things you said. You wouldn't have said that if you knew him. He was good. His face was so thin and quiet. And when my ma'd start in on him for nothing. For nothing, I tell you. His eyes were like a dog. You kicked. That's why I wouldn't stand your saying those things. Not about my pa. What you say about me, all right. I'm used to them. First my mother used to. Now you. But not about him. You understand? Not about him. Well, don't stand there holding your neck looking at me. Say something.
I hate you.
All right. And I hate you
so much. I could kill you.
And I you.
Window. The dining room.
So who cares?
But a window broke, didn't you hear it?
Let him break up the house.
Oh, Sam. Oh, I'll go myself. Oh, kid. I told the superintendent to keep him off the street. If he thinks I'll pay for the glass, he's got to... Sam!
Huh?
Sam! Come here. Quick!
What's the matter? What's the matter with you? What?
Sam! Look!
What? Oh, no.
Sam.
What?
Sam.
What, dear?
Sam.
Stop saying my name like that. Over and over for the last 5 minutes. Why do you do that?
Who?
What? I don't know. I don't.
Make it go away. Make it go away, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. My flat. You. What do you want here? Who are you? Get out of here. Do you hear me? Get out of here.
I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out.
No, Dora, wait.
No, no. Let go of me. I'm getting out of here.
Dora, stop. Get your feet. Get up. Don't move.
Sam, where is he?
He's sitting down in front of the door.
If I could scream. But I'm afraid he... The police. Sam, call the police.
Yeah, the police. I'll call. No. Well, how can I?
Well, don't stand there. The telephone.
But if you stop.
Try. You've got to.
Right. All right, but walk alongside of me.
I feel so dizzy.
Just another couple of steps.
His eyes.
Go to the telephone.
Quick. Quick.
Operator. Operator.
Silas.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Quick.
How can I until the operator? Hello, operator.
Tell her, Sam.
Operator, please get me the police, quick. Some came into our house. Well, something.
Sam, he's getting up again.
Police, operator. The police.
Sam, before... hang up.
The police.
Hang up, Sam. He don't like it. Sam.
No, are you crazy? Why did you turn his thief out of my hand?
Don't like it.
Look.
Oh, Sam, don't let him.
No. It's all right. Just stand quiet. Squad car will get here. A couple of minutes, Dora.
A couple of minutes? Like a couple of years? Oh, Sam, listen. Why can't we break a window, get the neighbors in? We won't be alone. They won't be scared. They'll get him.
Please.
Tell him.
I can't. My throat.
Now go away. Come in. Come in quick.
Did you say I could come in? All right, I'm in.
Sam, the superintendent's kid.
Say, something's the matter.
Get out of here, quick.
Huh?
Don't stand there. Get out of here, quick.
Well, you said I could come in.
Go. Do as I tell you. Go quick before I...
Dora, wait.
What?
Let me talk to her. I got to.
Oh, God.
Gosh, what's the matter with you two? Look at me as if I was something in a zoo or something.
Arlene, tell me. Keep your voice down.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you come in here?
I knocked first. Sure I did. I knocked.
No. Why did you come up here?
Well... my pa was busy. He told me to come up and tell you. He called the plumbers, and they said they'd be over as soon as the agent okayed the job. So my pa said to tell you.
No, wait. That doesn't matter. What I want to know is...
Sam, he's watching her now.
Gee, Mr. Crook. Is she sick?
She's looking right at him.
Mr. Crook, what's the matter?
Can't you see?
No, I don't. Oh, gosh.
You do see.
Well, say I do. Gee, will Pa be sore?
What are you talking about?
My Pa, will he be sore, that busted window?
Window?
He says it's bad enough the extra work he's got to do around here without climbing around putting in windows the kids break.
Don't you see?
Sure I see. Gosh, you think I'm a dope or something? Well, I'll go down and tell my Pa. Oh, wait a minute.
Well?
How could the kids break a window up here in your flat? I mean, it's the fifth floor.
Oh, Sam, tell her.
Say, take it easy, Mrs. Croft. You don't have to tell me. Say, you had a fight and broke the glass. Say, that happens in the best regulated families. Don't say I told you, but last week, you know, Mr. Bannerman, who the drug is selling for, he threw a lamp at Mrs. Bannerman and he busts him.
Get out.
No, Sam, she can't.
Get out, I tell you. Go on out. Oh, right away.
I'm going. You have to yell at me. Now you'll pay for that window. Believe me. I'll tell my pa plenty.
Sam, she could have helped us. You threw her out. Why? She could have helped us.
No.
She could have. He let her in.
Stop it.
If you'd have let me tell her, she could have called the neighbors. They'd have...
Stop it,
Sam,
I tell you. Stop it.
Sam.
He gets restless when you talk so loud.
Sam, why didn't you let her help
us? Dora, because listen. And then don't talk when the cops get up here. The reason she couldn't help us... They can't help us, is it? Don't you understand? He was looking at her all the time, and she was standing right where he's sitting, and yet she didn't see him.
Oh.
You do know what I'm thinking. Maybe no one can see him. But you and me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we leave the visitor from Hades for a short message.
Step right up and get your ticket here. Just 10 cents. 1/10 of a dollar, and you can see one of the greatest attractions on the Midway. It's bigger than diamonds, better than gold, more exciting than a trip to Mars. Why, it's almost as good as a box full of United States savings bonds. Hurry, right this way.
A regular Circus O'Bonds. Get yours now.
I'm afraid of clowns. What's that clown word of the week, Gar?
Chlorophobia.
There you go.
Chlorophobia.
Wow.
And I like his explanation. The circus clown that was afraid of himself.
Yes. And if you ever turn to Harbor Horror, you'll see the accompanying video with that, which makes it even funnier.
Even funnier. Yeah. What more can you ask for?
Yeah. Can you imagine being an actor, being afraid of a clown, and being made up to be look like a clown?
Yeah. Well, see, our generation, I always look at it this way. We were brought up with Bozo the Clown. He was our pal. He was our friend. We didn't have any. It wasn't until Poltergeist came out that clowns got weird, you know.
Yeah, Stephen King's it. Yeah.
No, before that, though, too, you had that.
What about that creepy clown for that Crinkles cereal?
Yep, and One Step Beyond had the little. The clown, he was innocent in the One Step Beyond, but he sure didn't look
good. Yeah, in the One Step Beyond.
Was it Lon Chaney Sr., the man who laughed?
Laugh, and the man who got slapped, he played a clown in all three.
That's the one.
Some guy named Conrad Voigt or something, Conrad?
Conrad Voigt.
Yeah, that guy.
That was the man who laughs.
That was
which wasn't really a clown. That was the result of actual torture.
Yeah,
I thought it was a birth defect.
No. He was sent away and tortured by I forget what the part of the story, but he was sent away and tortured forced that grin on him, you know.
Yeah, that face was based on the Joker was based on that character, I think, with that.
Yes.
Exaggerated grin.
Years
and
later,
really?
it was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Compare The Man Who Laughs from the mid-1920s with...
The 1939 Batman Joker. Yep.
Or even the... what's his name? The Latin actor.
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero looked very much like him, in my opinion.
I never knew until very recently. Cesar Romero never refused to shave off his mustache. They just put extra makeup. I didn't know that.
I never saw it as a child. Never saw it. Never put two and seven together on that. But yep.
Gotta love the vanity. Gotta love the vanity.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. He felt like it distinguished him as a Latin actor. But the funny thing was, he might have had the heraldry, but the guy was born in like New York or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't know how that all worked out. He was a Latin heartthrob, but born in New York. But yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, was it Brooklyn? Everybody sees.
Yeah,
I could have
been
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Nobody wants
they
to
do.
Be
the
most,
they do.
The most Latin you can get, Brooklyn, New York. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All them Latin lovers. Oh, wow.
Exactly. Yeah, the Joker first popped out in 1938, 1939, and so... Definitely could have been very strongly influenced by the Man Who Laughs character.
Yeah.
Cool. I think they were.
It seems to be way too much for coincidence. For me.
Mm-hmm.
For me. Let's continue with our popular play, The Visitor from Hades. Let's see where this goes. We'll be back.
And now back to Arch Obler's story of The Visitor from Hades. A policeman has arrived. A very skeptical policeman.
My mother-in-law!
Now, just a minute, Mr. Croc, or whatever your name is. Let's get this straight. You never put in a call?
Officer, I tell you, Look around you.
Oh, are you starting that line again? Mrs. Kroc, why don't you tell me what's up?
My wife has nothing to say.
I'm asking her, fella. So you had a little fight with him, huh, lady? Then he got a little rough. You picked up the telephone. You hollered for the police. Is that it, lady? All right. Now, there's something screwy going on up here. I don't know what it is, but I'm waiting for you to tell me. Come on, Kroc. It's in your face. Out with it.
You don't see anything?
I see plenty. You and your wife sitting here staring at nothing.
Nothing?
Listen, mister, please. Listen.
I'm listening.
Take out your guns. Shoot him. Kill him.
Huh? Who?
There, in back of you. Quick.
Dora, I beg you.
Hey, mister, what is she talking about?
In back of you. Look. Why don't you look?
Nobody in back of me, lady.
I told you, Dora.
You told her what, Kroc? What is this?
I told you. Why don't you listen to me? There. Sitting there, staring at me. At you. Get him out of here.
So, that's it.
You see him. You do. Sammy sees him. He'll help us. He will.
You will, Sergeant. You will.
Sure. Why not?
I told you, Sam.
Yeah, get a doctor over here from Bellevue in a couple of hours.
Bellevue?
Well, take it easy, lady. Nobody's going to hurt you.
Do you think that she's crazy?
Yeah, sure. And I might have guessed it. Yeah, I'll be back in a couple of
hours. No, I'm not crazy. Listen to me. He's sitting there watching me, watching Sam. I'm not crazy. I'm telling you it's true. It's true. Oh, why won't you listen? Why won't you listen?
Sam.
What?
What time is it?
About 6, I think.
Getting so dark.
Maybe if we could turn on the lights, he'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, comes from the dark. He can't stand the light. I've got to get to the light switch. I've got to.
No, don't do it, Sam.
But I...
Sam, don't. No, if he touches you...
But I gotta... Floor lamp.
What?
Floor lamp behind us. If I backed up to it, grabbed the switch before...
Oh, careful, Sam.
Just keep looking at him.
Yes.
I got it.
Oh, Sam, the light. No. Still there.
Dora.
What, Dora?
Or is he laughing at us? Are you asleep?
No, Sam.
Had your eyes shut. It must be almost 6. Yeah, it's getting light. I haven't stayed up all night since I was a kid. Yeah, I was 12, wanted to see what dawn was like, so I stayed up.
Sam.
Huh?
Sam. I figured something out.
Figured?
Hours I've been thinking. Something about his face.
Well?
His mouth. It's just like yours.
Oh, Dora.
No, I'm all right, Sam. I told you. I've just been watching and thinking. Mouth. Just like yours.
Dora, don't.
Don't say anything. Just look. Well?
His eye.
Huh?
I never noticed.
What?
His eyes. Like yours. When you're a crazy man. Look at his eyes. Dora, am I right?
I don't know. All I know is his mouth. When you choked me before. Your teeth.
Were they?
Yes.
Dora.
What?
The way the light shines. The left side of his face.
Huh?
You.
What?
You, when you scream at me. Your skin tight, like a skull. Dora, that side looks like you.
Sam.
I swear it.
No, Sam. Like you.
What?
What are you...
The other side of his face. All night I've been trying to figure. Sam, it is like you.
Part you? Part me?
Yes.
No. No, it can't be. It is insane. It's crazy. It can't be. How can a thing... I tell you, it isn't real. It isn't...
Sam, what's the use yelling it isn't real when it's sitting there?
You're not afraid at all?
No. I don't think I am.
Why?
That thing. Just the worst of you and the worst of me.
Huh?
Oh, Sam, I'm so tired. Maybe I can't talk straight, but that thing. Part you when you wanted to kill me and part me when I wanted you dead. Don't you see?
I think I do.
He's getting up.
Yes.
Looking at me. Sam, I'm getting a little afraid again. Oh, Sam, quickly before anything happens. Tell me why you've hated me so much.
Well, I...
Tell me, quick.
Well... The last year, I worked so hard, it wasn't enough for you. Never enough. I couldn't figure out why, except you hated me. Why did you, Dora?
I didn't. I only... Yes, I did. Why shouldn't I say it? I've hated you ever since that night you lied.
I have to
remember. You ought to remember. A kid, you said. Not me, not in this lousy world. Fill the house with anything you want, but no kids, never.
Oh, that was it.
That was it.
Why didn't you talk?
Talk? Don't you know yet? All my life, I really feel, I can't. I talk about them inside me. I cry. I hate.
Dora.
Sam.
Gone.
Yes.
How can it be gone?
Sam, go see.
Yes, I will.
Excuse me, Mr. Croc. Pardon you so early, but I saw the light under the floor there, and I heard you talking.
What is it, Superintendent?
Well, nothing, except I was wondering. Last night, my girl, you know, Arlene, she came downstairs with all kinds of crazy talk about you and the missus. You know how kids are. I was wondering. Well, somebody said cops came in the building last night about 9 or 10 o'clock, and I can't figure out where they went. Did they come in here? I mean, did anything happen here last night? Oh, Mrs. Clark, I didn't see you standing there. Well, did anything happen here last night?
Last night?
Yeah. Anything happen?
No, nothing.
Oh, well, then, excuse me.
No, wait. Wait, Superintendent.
Huh?
Wait. There is something.
Huh?
There's a couple of windows to be fixed.
Jovelery again. First, my thanks to Lorene Tuttle and Bill Phipps, with Paula Winslow, Peggy Weber, Hal Perry, Jerry Hausner, and Byron Kane. Sound man, Bud Tollefson. Now a word about our next radio theater adventure. Have you ever thought about falling through the air, say 10,000 feet, without a parachute? Have you ever had one of those falling dreams where you... But more about that after a commercial word.
Some of us think Connecticut is a suburb of New York City, but it isn't really. It just seems that way because so many people working in the city commute daily between their jobs and the grassy country-like atmosphere of Stamford, Greenwich, or Larchmont. those who don't commute, preferring to work where they live, may 9 to 5 it at the Electric Boat Division of General Dynamics in New London, selling insurance in Hartford or making clocks in Bristol. But regardless of where they work, both groups of people have a great deal in common. They don't share merely the nutmeg or constitution state, for the place of their residence is shared with others, such as P.T. Barnum, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Nathan Hale, Noah Webster. People in Connecticut today share the yearly excitement of the Yale-Harvard crew races, the beauty of the mountain laurel blossom in late spring, pride in their state's early Yankee peddlers, and more than anything, the true meaning of their state motto, he who transplanted sustains.
We were talking about falling dreams because next week I've written you a play titled Special to Hollywood. It concerns an actress I once knew and an airplane I never want to know. Actress and airplane, you and I will, I hope, meet next broadcast time.
Arch Obler's Plays. Stories of the Unusual. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Perhaps the longest, most painful outro known to man.
Cool.
He's like, dude, is this going to end?
I know. Boy, like, what's going on?
We're cutting it close, so you better get that moral there, Dale.
Yeah.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah, we got that radio thing we got to do, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, it's not all fun games, kid. Sometimes it's work.
Watch your language, that four-letter word.
Oh, I'm sorry. In front of ladies yet. Good evening. Welcome to Erie House Radio as we present Gar's moral of the story.
A competent strangler always wins an argument.
Yep.
Now, see, that sounds better that way. That sounds better. And, Dave, you hit the nail on the head. We got a lot of radio. So, therefore, ergo, we should wrap it up with our witch's tale. The power, power of Lucifer. Which is great because she's got a cat named Satan, too.
There
and do we have an original broadcast date for this gem?
December 7th, 1937. Witch's Tale. The fascination of the eerie. Weird, blood-chilling tales told by old Nancy, the Witch of Salem, and Satan, her wise black cat. They are waiting. Waiting for you. Now.
Today? Yes, sir. 106-year-old. Well, Satan, give word to douse all lights and we'll get right down to business. No! That's right. Make it nice and dark and cheerful, for we like gloom and shadow. Now, draw up to the fire and gaze into the embers. Gaze in form deep, and soon you'll see a crowded ballroom in a fine big house in New York City. And there, midst happiness and laughter, begins our tale about the power of Lucifer. The power of Lucifer!
The next dance will be a waltz, dear. Sure you want to sit it out?
Yes, Catherine. I've stepped on enough defenseless female toes this evening. And as I have to buy your shoes, I'll be economical as well as merciful. This balcony seems deserted. Let's go out there.
And gaze at the moon?
Mm-hmm. Now, here's an especially nice chair for moon gazing. Big enough for both of us.
Not unless I sit in your lap.
That's all right. I have a good, strong lap. Now, give me a kiss.
Warren, don't muff my hair. Don't you ever get tired of making love to your wife?
No. Nope. My wife ever get tired of having me make love to her?
No.
There's no occasion for argument. Give me another kiss.
That's enough. And I'm going to sit in this other chair. Before you crush my gown and I press the crease out of your trousers.
All evening you've forsaken me and now you're doing it again.
I am. And unless you curb your romantic ardor, I'll make you take me back in there and dance.
I'll be good. It's too nice to be out here with you and away from all those people.
You don't like the crowds here, do you?
Oh, they're all right, I suppose, but I don't understand them. I'm just a plain businessman. Hindu poets, Armenian artists, and Turkish musicians are way over my head.
Since Mrs. Brewster decided to patronize the art, she's certainly had some very strange people at her affairs.
Strange? They seem lunatics to me. Fortunately, old Dr. Farmer's wife had deserted him, as you did me, so he and I sneaked off in a corner and discussed politics, Wall Street, and baseball. That plebeian band of conversation soon drove away any nut who came near us. What particular sort of culture does the chap go in for who's been monopolizing you all evening?
Mr. Orlov?
Oh, that's his name. I didn't catch it when we were introduced. Russian, isn't he?
I imagine so, though he didn't mention his nationality.
What did he do for a living?
I don't know.
Spent enough time with him to have learned his whole life's history.
You weren't jealous?
Of course not. I merely ask about him because... Well, he's such a peculiar-looking chap, and I'm curious to know what there is about him that held your interest for so long.
I don't know that either. He's a very strange person. He talked a steady stream from the moment I met him. Yet I know nothing about him at all.
What did he talk about?
Well, a subject that I've only heard of in a vaguer sort of way before. Devil worship.
Devil worship?
Yes. Not medieval witchcraft or anything like that, but something that exists today. Cult of Lucifer, he called it.
Cult of Lucifer?
It's a religious sect, he said, that has churches, ordained priests, and a ceremonial.
And he said this cult of Lucifer is active now?
Yes, all over the world, right here in New York. He talks so much about it, I've an idea he himself remembers. Warren, there's something horrible about that man. 5 minutes after I met him, he was absolutely repulsive to me.
Yet you danced with him all evening.
I don't know why. After the first dance, I wanted to get away, yet... When he asked me for another, I'd have been with him yet if you hadn't come for me. Well, I made up my mind not to say anything about all this. It sounds so silly. Oh, I'm glad I've told you. I want you to stay with me for the rest of the evening. Don't leave me for a moment. And if Mr. Orlov asks me to dance with him again, you make some excuse. Don't let me.
Catherine, are you intimating that you can't refuse this man yourself?
Yes. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I'm afraid of that man, Warren. Terribly afraid.
Oh, yes. There they are, Mrs. Brewster.
My dear Catherine, we've been looking everywhere for you and Warren.
Oh, just sitting out a dance, Mrs. Brewster. Won't you join us?
Yes, he's with them.
Don't worry, darling. Your Mr. Orlov won't bother you now.
You and your husband have been enjoying the moonlight, Mrs. Grady.
Yes, Mr. Orlov. How gorgeously romantic. They're always running away from people so they can be by themselves, Mr. Orlov. As though they were sweethearts instead of husband and wife. In these two young people, you see the perfect marriage.
A most unusual thing to see. Perfect things are rare.
I'll say they are. But you played me a mean trick when you disappeared with Catherine Warren. A Swedish poet. Got me in the corner and nearly talked my arm off. I tell you, my dear, Dr. Farmer and I had organized a mutual protective association of two against art in there.
Oh, you and the doctor are incurably bourgeoisie.
Afraid we are, Mrs. Brewster. Your guests of this evening are too highbrow for plain people such as Warren and myself. By that, I mean no offense to you, Mr. Walton.
None is taken. I like you and plain people. Not what you call highbrow.
You're far too modest, Mr. Orlov. You and Warren must become better acquainted with this gentleman, Doctor. He's been everywhere, seen everything, and... Oh, he's told me of the most interesting things. Catherine, my dear, did he tell you of that perfectly intriguing sect he called the Cult of Lucifer?
Yes, Mr. Orlov told me a great deal about it.
What is the Cult of Lucifer? Simply a group, or rather many groups, of people who believe that evil is a more potent factor in this world than good. Consequently, they worship the Lord of Evil and serve him, not by what orthodox religionists call worthy acts, but by bringing sorrow and trouble wherever they can.
Did you ever hear of anything so perfectly fascinating?
There are idiots in this world who go in for anything. The Cult of Lucifer is not composed of idiots, Doctor. You may have heard it said that the devil takes care of his own. He endows his most ardent disciples with great power. So I am told.
Oh, rot.
Perhaps. Of course, I am only speaking hearsay.
Oh, naturally. It's delightfully interesting to think about, but one wouldn't wish to be acquainted with people who believe such things personally, would one?
I don't think so, Mrs. Bruce.
No, darn well, I wouldn't.
Now, I simply must return to my other guest. You'll excuse me, won't you?
By all means,
of course. Yes, of course. You poor lovely people mustn't stay out here too long, though. Please
do inform me. Well, no one gets me back in there while I'm in my right senses.
May I hope that Mrs. Craig will return to the mall very soon as my partner for the next dance, perhaps?
I...
Shall we go now? The music has begun.
Yes.
Catherine?
I
have your permission, of course, Mr. Green. Yes. Thank you. My arm, Mrs. Green. We shall join you gentlemen later.
Hey, Warren, what's the matter with you? You look as though someone had hit you over the head. The doctor, what... That man made me say yes when I wanted to say no. He walked away with Catherine when I wanted to stop him and she didn't want to go.
What are you talking about?
By the Lord, he isn't going to get away with it.
What? Where are you going?
Orlov! Orlov! Wait, come back here! Orlov!
Are you calling me, Mr. Gray?
Yes, come back here with my wife!
Oh, you're making a scene. What's the matter with you,
Orlov? You'll soon find out, and so will he.
Why have you called me, Mr. Gray?
You know well enough. But step out here on this balcony and I'll tell you. Let go of his arm, Catherine. Come here to me.
Warren.
Come here to me.
Go to your husband, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
What kind of a game are you playing? She couldn't even take her hand from your arm until you let her. When she told me you'd made her dance with you all evening against her will, I didn't know what to think. But now I do, because you just worked the same hypnotic trick on me. I don't like to be tricked, Mr. Orlov. And I don't want hypnotists experimenting on my wife. She's not dancing with you anymore, that's all.
Not quite so much, Mr. Green. Your tone has been both loud and insulting. Dr. Farmer has been a witness, and others have been attracted by your words. It is your privilege to say I cannot dance with your wife. But I expect an apology.
You won't get it, Orlov.
It may be in my power to compel it.
Not from me.
You will apologize to me, Mr. Green.
before these people. I apologize to you, Mr. Orloff. I thank you. But now that you have made it, I choose not to accept your apology, Mr. Gray. You will feel that Ivan Orloff is a most vindictive man. Good night.
What in heaven's name is the meaning of all this? What's happened to you? Again, you look stunned, like a man who has received a blow.
Doc, he did it to me a second time. Beat down my will as he did before.
It doesn't matter, dear. He's gone now. Let's get our things and leave here. We never met him before tonight, and we won't see him anymore.
I'm not so sure of that. I didn't like the look of that fellow when he left.
He can't do us any harm, Doctor. He can't.
Oh. Darling, what's the matter?
Oh, dear, I feel faint.
Catch her, Warren. She's falling. Catherine, darling, what's wrong with you? Doctor, she fainted. Carry her to that bench. Lay her down.
But what could have caused it?
I don't know.
Catherine, darling. She's so white and still. She's scarcely breathing, Doctor. What's the reason for this? She hasn't been sick.
I know that. I'm her doctor. Someone telephone for the ambulance. Hurry.
An ambulance, Doc?
Yes.
You don't think...
I've got to get her to a hospital if I hope to save her life.
Her life?
Yes. Her pulse is very weak. Her heart is beating and no more.
But she can't die, Doc. You won't let her die.
Doc, if I can help it, hold on to yourself, my boy.
Catherine.
I can't understand it. I examined her only last week. Her heart was regular as a clock.
What's the reason? Doctor, her lips are moving. She's trying to say something. What is it, dear? Speak to me. What's the reason?
She's still pleased. She is trying to say something. Catherine, what is it, dear?
You're stepping on my throat.
I couldn't hear her, Doc. What did she say?
It was just
you a whisper. Stop it.
I think she said...
You're stepping on my throat.
We'll be back with the exciting conclusion of The Witch's Tale. 106-year-old, she be.
And yet, actually, she was...
13. Oh, something like that.
Well, no, I actually pulled it together. She was 15 years old during this episode.
15, all right.
She started when she was 13. She quit when she was about 17 or 18.
Wow,
oh,
that
yes.
is just amazing.
Time to retire.
Yeah.
And
you're too old for the part.
She actually auditioned when she was 12 years old, and the director, the narrator, director, writer, was kind of puzzled to see this young girl. She had a straw hat and a Buster Brown haircut. But after he heard her laugh, he hired her right then.
The sinister laugh of
Nancy the Witch. Old Nancy. Good old Nancy.
Yeah, the first old Nancy got so old she died, yeah.
Yeah, she died at 79 years old. Adelaide Fitch Allen, I believe. Isn't that right?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Who's going to argue? Come on.
Today, I'm making a traffic sign.
What kind of sign?
Already?
A traffic sign?
I don't know. We don't have a whole lot of time. Let's wrap up.
Stop.
The power
stop.
Of Lucifer
stop.
From
we got a whole lot
Witch's
of radio.
Tale.
A whole lot of radio.
Isn't she any better, Doctor?
Just the same, my boy.
That's all you've told me for 3 days, that she's just the same. And she lies on this bed, never moving, scarcely breathing, dying. Oh, isn't there anything you can do to save her?
I've done everything, tried everything I know. I'm at my wit's end, boy.
The specialist I brought in can't diagnose this condition any better than I can, nor recommend a treatment. We doctors know so little.
Then you haven't any hope? She's going to die?
No, I haven't given up hope. But doctors are only men. Where we fail, often something else steps in and saves. God. He gives and he takes away, son. Everything in this universe is really up to him.
And he's forgotten her and me. Don't you think I've prayed to him? Every moment since he collapsed that night, a prayer's been on my lips or crying in my heart. A prayer of desperation. A cry of my whole being. For if I lose her, I have nothing in the world. He's forgotten me. He doesn't care.
I don't think you or I or any other human being can say that. For we don't know his scheme. My boy, I'm not just trying to deaden your anxiety and heartbreak with a sugar-coated anodyne of religion. I haven't any creed. I'm just talking what I sincerely believe. Catherine has been unconscious for 3 days. She hasn't suffered for a single moment of that time or felt the slightest pain. If she doesn't come out of this, I don't say she won't. I don't believe she won't. And I'll do all a human being can to bring her back to you. But if I can't, she'll simply pass from a light sleep into a deep one. She'll have been spared a lot of trouble that living holds for everyone. God will have been very kind to her, my boy. And you won't have lost Catherine. For there's another place where those who love are reunited.
Maybe. 3 days ago I thought that, believed, was sure of it. Now I've lost all faith in the sort of providence that struck my wife without a warning.
Warren.
I've lost all faith, I tell you. If there is a force for good, there's an evil force that counteracts it. An evil force that's the strongest.
You don't know what you're saying.
Oh, yes, I do. Doctor, what did Catherine's whisper mean that night when she murmured the power of Lucifer?
I don't know. Probably something about Orloff's filthy cult had lingered in her mind. Or it may have been in my mind. So that I read her whisper as I did. I couldn't really swear her lips formed words. She murmured too low to hear.
No, she said what you thought she did, all right. She said the power of Lucifer. They were the last words she uttered. They were a message to me, a message I hadn't understood until now.
What do you mean?
That devil Orloff did the thing to her. As he proved that he could bend our minds, now he's proved his hellish power in her body.
You're mad.
No, I'm not. You haven't any explanation for whatever struck her down, without cause, without a warning. I have, at last. Orloff threatened me. He said the devil took care of his own. That he gave great power to his disciples, to him. That power is killing my wife, the power of Lucifer. The god of evil who is stronger than the lord of good.
You're beside yourself, my boy. You can't believe such a thing.
I do believe it. And if Catherine dies, then I'll know it too.
My boy.
Doctor. Catherine just moaned. The first sound she's made...
Out of my way, Warren. Let me see.
What's that rattling noise I hear? It's coming from the throat. Doctor, she looks different. She's lying so still. There's not the slightest movement. Her eyes are open, staring. Doctor, why are you pulling that sheet over her face? Doctor! Catherine. Catherine, my darling.
Don't lose faith, my boy. You'll find her again if you don't lose your faith. Who is it? Oh, I shan't need you now.
I've got an important message, Doctor. It's for Mr. Gregg. Near Mr. Orloff.
Orloff? What is the message?
Simply this slip of paper his address, sir. But he said it was a matter of life and death. Oh, Doctor. Mrs. Gregg?
Yes. Just now.
His address. A matter of life and death. Perhaps he meant he could have saved her. But it came too late. He'd gone and followed me. Thought. She's dead.
Boy, what are you muttering to yourself?
He killed her. He killed her. But this tells me where to find him.
Warren!
This tells me where to find him. Where to take his life for hers.
Come back. Stop him, someone.
He's mad, Doctor.
All the power of Lucifer will save him. His life for hers. His life for hers.
Come in.
gentleman we expected has arrived, Master. It was exactly 11 minutes past midnight when you let him in the downstairs door. I told you it would be. The Master knows all things. Mr. Gregg has a pistol in his pocket.
Yes, Master, with his hand inside the pocket and his fingers on the trigger.
Ready.
I can see the outline through the cloth.
I see it through these walls. I saw him buy the gun 4 miles away. He means to shoot me the moment he and I are alone in this room.
Show him in at once, Alexei, and leave us yet.
Come in, Mr. Gray. Please go, Alexei, and shut the door behind you.
Yes. You murderer!
Wait. Before you press the trigger of that pistol, let me ask you one question.
No, you...
It is a question I summoned you to hear. The question of life or death. Do you want your wife restored to you?
My wife?
Do you want your wife restored to life?
You know she's dead. That proves you killed her.
I do not deny it. I told you once that Ivan Orlov was a most vindictive man.
You fiend! Now you'll pay your life for hers!
Wait. First answer my question. Do you want your wife restored to life?
Yeah. You're playing with me.
A man does not play when another holds a loaded pistol at his breast. And I am very afraid of firearms, really. Keep your pistol, Mr. Gregg. Keep it pointed at my body if you will. But you had better hear what I have to say before you shoot. So, you relax a little. That is better. I left a note telling you where to find my humble residence as your dear wife breathed her last.
Wait!
I left it because Ivan Orlov is also a forgiving man when his vengeance is complete. And the power of Lucifer can give as well as take.
The power of Lucifer?
Which in that hospital room this evening, you'll realize was greater than the power of food. I am a priest of Lucifer. Is this the power that I wield? You doubt, perhaps, that I can bring your wife to life as I have made her die. Take this piece of paper. Tear it up. Tear it up. Hold the pieces in your open hand. I have not touched them. I do not touch them. Yet look.
They're joined together.
As they were before you tore them. So I can restore the broken fragments of your dear one's life.
Give her back to me and I'll be your slave.
I do not need a slave. But the master I adore needs loyal servants.
What do you mean?
That the devil takes care of his own, but only his own. That he gives nothing for nothing. You must pay a price. That you must serve him if you would have him serve you.
To regain Catherine, I must...
You must be consecrated in my master's service. Tonight and forevermore, you must bow down and worship Lucifer. Well, my brother, for we are brothers now by the virtue of the faith we share. You did not enjoy your consecration in our order?
It was horrible. Bestial. Unholy.
Holy and unholy are words we do not employ. The king is either evil or unevil, for there our power lies.
If evil gives you power to bring back the warmth of life to that cold body on the bed, I accept your awful faith. To have her back, to have her love again, is worth the eternal damnation of my soul, if I have a soul.
You must not doubt the existence of your soul, my brother. For to accept the creed of evil, the creed of good must also be believed. One cannot exist without the other. Our deity is stronger, as you shall soon see. For he will bring the dead to life.
How soon? How soon?
In less than a minute. Blood will course again in those now so lifeless things. Breath will return, and those closed eyes will open of themselves. In less than a minute, the dead will rise and walk.
Oh, Catherine. It'll be worth my soul to have your love again.
Ah, you have not forfeited your soul. Souls are not my master's business.
You said if he restores her, I must pay a price.
Of course. He gives nothing for nothing.
What will that price be?
I do not know. I do not even know the price that I must someday pay for power. But I do not care. Power is all that matters. And I shall live many years to wield it. For I control the minds of men, and nothing can destroy me.
Olaf, colors returning to her cheeks.
By the power of Lucifer.
She breathed. You've kept your promise. You're restoring her to life.
Not I, but he, my sir.
Her flesh grows warm. She's coming back to me. Now, like you, I don't care what price I have to pay. I'll have Catherine once more. My Catherine. Olaf, she's opened her eyes. Speak to me, darling. Let me hear your voice again. You look as though you didn't know me. I'm Warren, dear. Your husband. Catherine, why do you laugh like that? Why are you laughing like a baby? Olaf, her eyes.
What about them?
They're blank, staring. Her body lives, but her eyes are dead.
So they are. I forgot to tell you that though my master can restore the dead to life, he cannot restore the brain.
You mean the Catherine?
She is an imbecile, my brother. As I have said, the Lord of Evil has no province over souls. And without a soul, there can be no mind, of course. But rest easy now. You have nothing more to fear. You have paid the devil's price.
You monster! You fiend!
Drop that gun.
Oh!
You fool. I told you I had mastery over all created men. When I let you keep that gun this afternoon, I only played with you for amusement. I am a priest of Lucifer. With the power he has given me, I shall live forever.
Catherine!
She has picked up the gun you dropped. Take it from her and return it to your pocket. It pleases me to have you keep it and know you cannot use it. Imbecile! Do not point that gun at me. Drop that pistol like they drop it.
She has no mind, Olaf. You're powerless before her, and her finger's on the trigger.
No, no, no!
Now, Olaf, you, like me, have paid your master's price. Only you bought power. Something evil had to sell. I tried to purchase love.
Happy ending.
Always a happy ending.
Well, that's the end of that, Satan. Now you and me have business to attend to. Important business, Satan. Near midnight, Satan.
She just cracks herself up, doesn't she? Eerie House Radio proudly resents Scar's moral of the story.
The strength of will also involves what it takes to remove it.
Who knew? Tomorrow, author Julian David Stone and his book, It's Alive. We'll be interviewing David. It's a story. It's fiction, but it is based on fact during the time of the making of 1931 Frankenstein. It's a Frankenstein fun party. That's tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern. Right after that, you know what you're going to do. Go on over to them Twitches for Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul.
Gar the Ghoul. Lord Gar the Ghoul.
Lord Scottish.
Lord.
That's right. We'll see you tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern. Ta-ta. TTFN.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me
And him.
And him and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
I'm hip.
Don't come alone.
What the hell was that?
I can dig it.
And you dig it?
I can.
I can dig it.
If Vincent Price thinks it's funny, it's funny.
Yeah, that's why I always bring my shovel, because I can dig it.
What was that from? Yeah, I'm hip. It was like a...
Bugs Bunny.
Oh,
wow. No, I don't think so.
No, there is a cartoon character, like an early Hanna-Barbera character, sidekick character or something. But
yeah. And he kept going, I'm hip.
Yeah, I'm hip.
Creepy little dude, like, you know?
What are you talking about there, man?
I don't know.
Talk about this, man. Talk about this. Talk about that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That. In the Flintstones, there was a guy dressed up, and he would say, I'm hip. But
maybe that was it. Maybe that's what I'm remembering. That might be it.
Perhaps that was it.
It was a Fred Flintstone was dressed up as a superhero, and there was a bad guy, and he dressed up as a superhero. But he would always say, yeah, I'm hip.
I think that's it.
I don't know who the heck it is.
Gar, you hit on it. You're the man, Gar.
Gar knows his cartoons.
Cartoons. Absolutely.
That's right. Do you have any cartoons? Oh, tomorrow, cartoons. Thanksgiving cartoons, if you tune in.
Oh, no. Whatever.
You mean not just a turkey, a hand turkey? Not just a hand turkey?
No, more than a hand turkey.
Dirty.
I did a hand turkey.
Absolutely filthy.
Tofu turkey?
I got a paper plate, and I drew a hand turkey
last
weekend.
Last week, he drew a hand turkey. Live.
That sounds filthy.
Then everybody wanted his turkey.
No, and I will admit to you, Dale, I washed my hands before I drew that turkey, so there you go.
I hope so. You're creeping me out there.
And I use sanitizer after you made it, yes.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm the only one here, and go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm the only one here, and I sanitize before and after. How's that?
Thank goodness for Chef YD. Yeah. I did something a little different about 22 hours ago.
Before and after
I took up with TikTok. I had a guy been pushing me, saying, you need to do TikTok. I said, nobody will watch my stuff. Well, I got an industry. I posted two videos, and in 22 hours, I've had over 1,100 views.
No kidding.
You know how long it takes to get me to get 1,100 views on YouTube? Wow.
But I got to ask, Dave, in one of these TikTok videos, did you indeed draw a foot turkey?
No, and I didn't dance either. I did not dance. I did not.
You didn't dance.
I did take a shower in one of them, but I did not dance.
On there and go, I'm hip, and then turn it off.
Yeah, so if you actually go to TikTok or tiktok.com/@WRBM Dave, you'll find the videos posted there. For those who are still listening in the archive, lots of fun stuff. It's also on my personal Facebook page and the Weird and Truly Bad Movie page and the Eerie House page. The link is right there.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I'm trying to find it. I
couldn't believe
it.
It's on the link there.
A link.
Shame there's not a TikTok radio.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Wow. Where did you put this link, Dave? Where did you put your link?
In the Facebook page, Eerie House Facebook page. Weird and This Really Bad Movie page, the link Facebook page.
All the places I'm not tied into. All right, let's.
Spotify sent it to yours,
you
and you posted
tied to
for
the
me.
Eerie House page.
I am. I'm still. I'm not firing on it on 10,000 cylinders here.
I had a stroke.
You had a stroke?
I had a stroke.
You should have a doctor if you had a stroke.
If you go to Erie House page, it should be right below the link to there you go. Ms. Me, you see a picture of me and the elephant there. There you go.
163
likes.
163 likes.
163 likes on
Where's it showed the video? The video.
So if you click on that link, it takes you right there.
I do click on it. I'm kind of. You're looking in the mail
right there. I just uploaded one. It has no views yet, I got the
575 views and 555 views. So there, okay.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of views there, Dave.
A lot more than I ever get off of that YouTuber thing.
Let me see if I'm part of this or not. Don't have an account. I don't know. I don't know.
But if you have an account, get there. Go ahead and check them out and follow me, and I perhaps will be able to follow you as well.
I may have to join
being
the
talker.
I may have to join the cult.
I don't think I
The devil makes good.
Yeah, that's right. Appropriate night to do it. But I just couldn't believe that I had that many views.
Appropriate night to join a cult.
With that, gentlemen, I must be away until tomorrow.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yes,
you know what your job is then.
Oh, I have to work. I mean, really, I want to raise, so I get less than zero. At least I can get zero.
We'll double your money.
You want to raise? I'll bring the ladder up next time.
Yeah.
Fine. There you go. All right.
Enjoy your evening, CW.
Oh, thank you. And you as well, Gar. Thank you. I'm the four persons of the apocalypse to celebrate 666. And without further ado, the devilish delights of Durante on the keyboards whenever you...
Good night.
Yeah.
It's time to say good night.
Billy Day,
we've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Ari, go up, we the thing, and it cut think
and it cut think I do.
Good night.
Tick tock.
Tick tock.
Good night, folks. And good
Tick-tock.
Night, Mrs. Calabash. Well,
it is wrong.
All right, good night, guys.
Bye.
Meow, 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 meow,